This reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. And if you're following in a church Bible, that's page 1049. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Thank you, Anne. I'm sure for many of us, that's a well-known story that Jesus told. Okay, another question. Seem to be full of questions this morning. What is the biggest thing you've ever asked for from your parents, from your mum or your dad? I guess for me, what came to mind for me, again, it was a bike, I think you said that, David. So when I was a youngster, for me, it was a chopper. I don't know if you remember them. People of a certain age, shall we say, might remember a chopper. Well, I asked for a chopper, and I got a chopper. Yeah. I suppose if you don't ask, you don't get. But No matter how big we might have asked, however the item, how big it might have been, I don't think anything would compare to what this young man asked from his father. He's asking for something massive, isn't he? He wants his share of his father's inheritance. So that's half of everything he owns. Now, he would normally get that when his father dies. But it seems he can't wait. And so he has this outrageous, this crazy request to his father. Give me half, I don't know if he said please or not, but anyway, give me half of everything you own. What a crazy request. And it got me thinking, because the father says yes, doesn't he? He says, well, here you are. And it got me thinking, who was the most crazy, if you know what I mean? Who was the most reckless? Was it the son in demanding or asking for half of the father's inheritance before he's dead? Or was it even more crazy of the father? You know, and we can't even imagine the pain his father would have suffered at that request. Interesting, isn't it? Who was the most crazy? Who was the most reckless? Was it the son? Was it the father? And of course, the father in the story is a picture of God, isn't it? And that God loves us so much. And so much, actually, he gives us the freedom to choose. Like the father in the story gave the son the freedom to choose to wait or to have it now. And of course, as I said, you know, it must have been a great pain to the father. And it's the same with Father God, if you like. His love for us is a very risky love because he gives us the choice. He loves us knowing we might choose to reject him, knowing we might choose to ignore him and just do our own thing. You know, it's a very kind of risky love, isn't it, to love in that way. So the son, he takes his share of the inheritance and he goes off and he spends all the money, as we saw and as we heard from Anne. He buys whatever he can buy, and goes to parties, and he's having a great time, loving every minute of it. But of course, living that kind of way, the money's not going to last forever, is it? It begins to get less and less, and eventually his money runs out. And as the money runs out, of course, his friends also run out. And then we're told there was a famine in the land. So there's, you know, there's no money, he's no friends, now he's got no food. So he really is at rock bottom. He's fallen on really hard times. I wonder if at this point he blamed the famine. No, if it wasn't for this famine, I would still have plenty of food. Do we ever blame our bad choices, our bad decisions on something else or someone else? No, I would not have said that if they weren't so annoying in the first place. You know, the way they overtook me coming up to that roundabout, that's why I'm tailgating them. They were dangerous. They were reckless. Sometimes we can blame what we do wrong actually on someone else, on somewhere else. This young man finds himself in a right mess. I say, no money, no friends, no food. He's hungry. He's probably physically worn out. And the only job he can get is to feed the pigs. And if that wasn't bad enough, he's longing even to eat the food that the pigs eat. And of course, nobody gives him anything. He is in a mess. course, it's not only in a mess physically, if you like, and emotionally, but also spiritually. Because I'm sure you know that pigs and Jews don't really go together. And it's a Jewish audience that Jesus is telling this story to. So this man in the story, this young man, he wouldn't be able to go to the temple, for example. He wouldn't be able to go and worship. That's out of the question now. It's a bit like you being told you can't go to church. You know, you're banned from church. I wonder how you would have felt at this point. Again, let me just throw that out to you. How do you think this young man would have felt at this point? Abandoned,
desperate,
yeah. Anything else? How is he feeling at this point?
Scared.
Lonely.
Regret.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, desperate, lonely, regretting what he's done. If only. So what does he do at this point? He prepares a little speech, doesn't he? He's thinking, well, even the servants back home, even they have better food than I have. They've got a better life than I have. And so he prepares a little speech, which basically goes along the lines of, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I should never have done this. I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but if only you would have me home as a servant. You know, I'll take that any day. That would be far better than what I have at the moment. So he's made up his mind to go home, and he's prepared his speech that he will say to his father. And so the story takes us back to the father. Now, what is the father doing? Is he sitting at home grumpy? Is he angry? No. The picture we have of this father is that he's looking out the window all day long. He's longing, he's waiting, he's hoping, he's wishing, he's dreaming. One day my son will come back. And one day he sees his son in the distance. And we're told the father had compassion on him. Do we know what that means? Compassion. That's a difficult word to try to...
Pity.
So he pitied his son. Felt sorry for him, maybe. Somebody else I thought said something.
Forgiveness.
He wants to forgive his son. I think somebody described compassion as, you know, yeah, loving someone, but realize they're in a mess. So it's not just loving someone, but doing something about it as well. Feeling the pain of someone else, and then doing something about the situation. So the father loves his son so much, even though he has hurt him, and his life is now in a mess. Another question. Does anyone have any embarrassing dad stories that they would like to share? Any embarrassing dad story or mum stories? Let me give you one. As a child, my dad regularly took me to football matches up in Scotland. His team was Dundee, so we would travel to Dundee. And what really embarrassed me about my dad is that he was always shouting during the match, shouting at the referee, shouting at the team he supported, you know, do this, why don't you do it? Why? And here I was as a young boy. I thought, oh, Dad, there's no need for that. You know, it just, oh. I mean, other people shouted as well, but it just seemed my dad was way, way over the top. And it was a bit embarrassing. to say the least. And we sometimes have those moments, don't we? Maybe our parents are no longer here, but we can remember times when they did something we thought, oh, actually, that was a bit embarrassing. Maybe the way they sing or something. You know, if I was to sing at home, I'm sure that would be very embarrassing. And I mention this because this dad in the story does something very embarrassing. Can you guess what it is? What does he do that is actually really embarrassing? So he's seen his son in the distance. He's got compassion on him. And then what does he do?
Embraces him.
Yeah, before he embraces him,
he runs.
He runs. Which, those listening to the story, I think at this point, would have brought a smile to their face. Remember, this is a wealthy man. You know, he's got a sort of farming business. You know, he owns land. He has servants. You know, it's the servants that do the running for him. And he would have probably had a long robe on, which he would have had to kind of hitch up over his knees, perhaps even up to his thighs so his legs can, you know, run. And if you try to picture this dad, an elderly man perhaps, hitching up his robe and running, it would have been quite an embarrassing image in the minds of those who are listening. This is the reckless love of the father. No, he loves his son so much that it doesn't matter how ridiculous he looks or how embarrassing it might be to those who are watching. All that matters is that he can go and embrace his son. And that's true for us too, isn't it? As soon as we take our first step towards God, you know, our first baby step, as soon as we turn towards him, recognizing that we too have lived things that are wrong, it's like the Father is running towards us, ready to embrace us. So it's party time for this young man. The father throws a party for his wayward son who has come home. And again, we can maybe just imagine the joyful celebrations, or the music, the laughter. It would just be an amazing time, the food, the drink. Because it looked as if this son would be lost forever. You know, he had so much money, had so much going for him. Perhaps we'll never see him again. And so they're celebrating his return. And they're perhaps going way over the top because the fact that he is now home, safe and well. And I suppose Jesus could have ended the story there because it's a happy ending, isn't it? And yet he doesn't end it there. Remember, this is a story about a father who had two sons. The other son, well, he's been there all the time. And when he hears that his other son has come back and his father's throwing a party, well, he's mad. He's angry. You know, he's probably more than angry. And when he's invited to join the party, and the celebrations, of course, he just refuses. See, he's mad as well at his father. He says, you know, I've always worked hard for you. I've always done whatever you've asked me to do. And yet you never gave me anything to celebrate with my friends. You've never thrown a party for me. And yet this useless waste of space who's hurt you like nobody's hurt you ever before comes home and immediately you throw a party. You know, he squanders everything. And you throw a party. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe he'll just wander off again. And Who would blame him if he knows this is what you're going to do when he returns? See, the problem with the older son is that he fails to grasp the love the father has for him. So the father says, "You're always with me, and everything I have is yours." You know, I don't love the younger son any more than I love you. You know, if it was you who ran away and came back, the party would be for you. I guess when we read this story, I wonder where we see ourselves. Do we see ourselves as the younger son, the one who's been away from God, who's come back, the one who was lost and who is now found? Maybe most of us do. Or could we be like the older son? The one who's always been around the Father, who's always been part of church, but never really grasped the love that God has for you. Where are we in the story? Are we running away from God, like the young man? And yet maybe giving a pretense that we're not, but in our hearts we are? Or are we at that point of recognizing we need to turn round and take that step back towards God? Are we at the party? Are we rejoicing in the mercy, the kindness, the grace, the love of God for us? Or are we outside the party? God invited the older son to join the party, didn't he? And that's the thing with God, everyone's invited. Everyone's invited, but not everyone will accept the invitation, it would seem. I hope we will, I hope you will, because God loves you so much. He's given us a choice. We can't just do our own thing. But if we learn anything from the son in the story, that doesn't end well. And God invites us back that we might know his love and his goodness for us. Okay, let's take a moment to pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time we've shared together. Thank you, Lord, for your presence amongst us. And Lord, just for the joy of being together as your family, to sing your praise, to be reminded again of your great love for us. That love is unending, boundless love, Lord. And yet, Lord, you give us the choice to receive your love, to live in the good of your love, or just to do our own thing. Lord, help us to learn from the story that Jesus told, and to know that you would welcome us, however far we feel from you. Lord, just that one step in your direction, and you come running with open arms towards us. Lord, what love, what grace, what mercy there is with you. So we bless you, Lord. We pray for ourselves as we go into this new week, into the unknown. Father, we pray that we might know that you are with us, that you're helping us, that you will work your purposes out through us. So bless us, we pray, Father. And we just offer ourselves to you, that we might serve you well in this coming week. Hear our prayer, Lord, and receive our thanks and our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.